Professor Arthur Verslewis. Welcome to Sphinx Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, Arthur, you have a wonderful new book out called The Mystical State, Politics, Gnosis, and Emergent Cultures, which came out in January of 2011 from the New Cultures Press. It is available on Amazon, both as a bound book and in a Kindle edition, which is the new way of reading. Now, Arthur, number one, do you have a web page you would like to give out where people can check out some of your other work?
Well, my home page is arthurverslewis.com, and that has various links and some sources. And then newcultures.org is another website people might want to take a look at. And beyond that, I don't think so. Those are the main ones.
Very good. There's also some interesting lectures you gave, which are on YouTube. If people just look up Arthur Verslewis, there's a couple of various symposiums and things like that you've been to, which are well worth watching and listening to. Now, you teach a course and even run a degree program in a very different kind of branch of knowledge. Could you tell us where you teach and exactly what the program is that you work on?
Well, actually, I'm serving as chair of the Department of Religious Studies at Michigan State University, and I've taught for more than 10 years a course that introduces students to Western esotericism, and that course gives people an overview of the history of Western esoteric traditions. We start with the mystery traditions in ancient Greece and trace the idea of what is esoteric through to the wide range of groups and figures and different traditions, alchemy and mysticism and various magical traditions. So there are only a couple of institutions internationally that really have degree programs that would be relevant. In the United States, Rice University has one, and then Amsterdam, there's the University of Amsterdam, and Exeter in England.
Oh, yeah, Nicholas Goodrick Clark teaches, runs a program at Exeter University.
That's right.
Very good, Arthur. Now, about your book, which I read and I found absolutely fascinating, again, I'll give the title, The Mystical State, Politics, Gnosis, and Emergent Cultures, which again is on Amazon. Now, when you hear the term mystical state, you think of something very individualistic or very private, or, you know, you think of things like meditation and prayer. Now, how would things like that really tap into things like politics and culture and art? It doesn't quite, almost, I won't say it doesn't square, but it doesn't seem like a term that you would use for the political or the cultural sphere.
No, and not at first glance, but that's because of the nature of the society we live in. The nature of our society is such that is the contemporary technological world tends to ignore or to devalue or dismiss terms like mysticism. And so it took me, you know, this book is the result of thinking challenges that face us and thinking through how outside of some of the crises that we're facing today and that I think we're going to continue to face, on the other side of these, what is possible, what might constitute the basis for a renaissance or a kind of cultural rebirth? And that's what I was thinking about in thinking about this book. And mysticism is often characterized as exactly as you say, as very individualistic or individualized. But actually, I think one of the things that characterizes the world that we're in, that is the kind of technological industrial civilization, observation is a fundamentally kind of dualist way of approaching things. We tend toward, really instinctively toward, a kind of dualism. And what mysticism, the way I refer to it in the book, offers is a non-dual way of understanding. And so mysticism offers or points toward what I'm arguing in the book represents the core, the center of living culture, which is non-dual. And that non-dual culture is what the book is pointing toward. And the title, Mystical State, is actually a play on words, because a mystical state as an individual state, but also a mystical state as a polis, a communal or community centered on gnosis or centered on direct non-dual spiritual knowledge is possible. And that's what the book is really exploring.
Wow, that's a really interesting way of looking at it. And when you consider that the 20th century, really, there was a huge effort to do away with the religious and the mystical and the spiritual. When you look at all the big political movements in Russia, in China, and even since the Enlightenment, the separation of church and state was really a movement towards looking at politics in a different way. Now, you're saying that to a certain extent, well, number one, that it really didn't work. The religious and the spiritual and the mystical survived all of that, despite all of these really powerful efforts to eliminate them. Now, you're saying we can return to some sort of spiritual relevance in the political and economic sphere. Would that be a fair statement?
I'll give an example. If you look at Renaissance Italy and the emergence of what we now universally, I think, or largely refer to as the Renaissance, Platonism and Platonic kind of understanding comes into being, and what constitutes culture, and what, and here I'm using the word culture to mean not just in the kind of loose way that culture is used in contemporary parlance, but culture in the sense of cultus, of having a religious center that gives everything within it meaning. And so I think that you see some evidence of that in the Italian Renaissance, and I think that isn't the only example I would give. I give some others in the book, but I think that that kind of cultural rebirth requires at its center a kind of non-dual, you could call it Gnostic or Gnosis kind of direct spiritual knowledge.
Very interesting way of looking at things, a very different perspective. Now, the big thing we really face with modernity in the current world is what Samuel Huntington called the clash of civilizations. And I met Professor Huntington once, and he saw the various religions as kind of at odds. Now, how would you respond to his perspective, and how could the ideas you look at in the mystical state really counteract that sort of thing?
Well, I think on one level it's true that there is a clash of civilizations. One could argue that's what you see in the ongoing struggle or conflict that you see between Islam resisting modernity and resisting it in particular kinds of ways, some of which are tied in with terrorism and with the Taliban. That's true. There is, to some extent, a kind of conflict there between modernity and those who are resistant to it. But what I'm talking about in the book is something very different than that. What I'm suggesting is that there is very different way of understanding, a different perspective that one also could inhabit, which is not engaged in that same kind of polemical, kind of dualistic clash of civilizations dynamic. It's an entirely different way of seeing the world and also of seeing what culture means. And I realize that the book is pointing toward things that are unfamiliar to a lot of people, possibly, but the idea is nonetheless to begin to explore these ideas and begin to explore these possibilities as alternatives to a simply polemical kind of dualistic, conflict-driven worldview. I think in all, other ways of seeing the world are possible, and those ways begin, I think, with the rejected cornerstone, which in fact is mysticism.
That's a very important point. And what I really try to impress upon people is that there is this mystical or esoteric core to all of the religions. And there are certainly differences between religions. That's not the point I'm making. And to say, you know, the Buddha and Jesus are just different sides of the same coin, well, I'm not exactly saying that. But what I will say is at the core elements of spirituality, there certainly are commonalities. And with the very, very dangerous technology we have in the contemporary world, and when you see things like 9/11 or, you know, just like they went in and killed Bin Laden just the other day. When you look at these things, I think it's almost imperative that we start to find some common ground, for lack of a better term, on the metaphysical sphere as well as the political and economic sphere. And I think it's urgent in a sense because, as I said earlier, the technologies we have are just too dangerous right now. It's not like the times of the Crusades when one side would win and the other people would go home. With technology now, we can literally destroy each other in a matter of a few hours. I mean, everybody loses in with the kind of science we have now. And I think it's essential that we look at these things. Now, what would your strategy be to bringing these things to the table for, say, politicians or economic people who have, the people who really control the power in the world? How do we address them? Because these are really the people we would have to go to.
I don't think that's necessarily so. The vision that I just at toward the end of the book has to do with a decentralized way of being in the world, and individual communities, possibly federal or federated to some extent. There's a federal identity of Switzerland, and yet there are individual subcultures or subparts of that are to a large degree independent. And I think that kind of vision is very different than a top-down power-driven structure. So what I'm suggesting is that with the emergence of culture comes then a organization in more of the line of what you saw in a Greek city.
Oh, very fascinating stuff. Now, we're running out of time, Professor Verse Lewis, and I just want to give out the name of this book once more and where people can get it. It is called The Mystical State, Politics, Gnosis, and Emergent Cultures, and it is published by New Cultures Press, and people can check out Professor Verse Lewis's other work at authorverselewis.com. Now, we're kind of tight on time, and there are many different dimensions to this book, The Mystical State. and I highly recommend that people buy it and read it as soon as possible. And I can't say enough about it. And Professor, I'd like to thank you for being on Sphinx Radio. And will you come back again sometime and give us an update on your work?
I'd be delighted to do that.
Very good, Professor Verse Lewis. And thank you again. Bye-bye now.